Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA podcast, the podcast that covers everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Tate, and I got my main sidekick back with me. That's my good buddy, William. How you doing there, William?
I'm back.
Excellent. All right. So, you know, it's a busy weekend, and I got to have William here. William, we got a full card. You ready for this?
I'm so excited.
All right. So today, everyone, we're going to be covering, because it's a full weekend, we're going to be covering the main UFC event, which is UFC Fight Night 89. We're also going to talk a little bit about the World Series of Fighting event that's going to be on Friday, which is World Series of Fighting number 31. We're going to touch on... Fedor is actually fighting this weekend, and so we got to talk about Fedor because that's one of William's favorites.
He's awesome.
And then we're going to talk about Bellator as well, which Bellator has a big event this Friday as well, which is Bellator 156. And then we're going to finish up today with a little MMA news. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, we're back, and we are set for a really jam-packed weekend, but it's going to start off with the crown jewel, UFC Fight Night 89, which in the main event, we got Roy McDonald versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. And Wonderboy has been on a tear. And, you know, you turn around and you look at what Roy McDonald just did with Robbie Lawler. This is going to be an action-packed, fun fight. What's your thoughts so far, Mr. William?
I thought that Stephen Thompson looked really good against Johnny Hendricks, and Rory's coming back off that devastating loss to Robbie Lawler, but I think he's got his head right, and I think he's going to bring it.
Well, you know what? When you look at like Roy McDonald, Roy McDonald was, you know, so close to being champion. I mean, that was one of the best fights of the year. It's one of those fights that you can go back and look at again and again and again, and you are never tired of it. It was just a fantastic match. And then you look at, you know, that Johnny Hendricks, Wonderboy fight, and I was utterly surprised at how easily he handled Johnny Hendricks.
The great thing about Wonderboy Thompson is that he's been training his takedown defense, training with Chris Weidman, who's obviously a very grappler-heavy fighter. And when you bring in the fact that he had so much length against Johnny Hendricks, Hendricks just couldn't take it to the ground, and Stephen Thompson just took advantage of that.
I agree. I mean, great, great fight. But, you know, this card is going to be jam-packed. In the co-main event, you're going to have, you know, the man who fights anytime, anywhere. You know, I'm surprised he's not fighting in between fights. And that is the Cowboy. And he's fighting Patrick Cote. Oh, wow, said that name wrong.
Patrick Cote.
And see, that's why I have William here. Patrick Cote is a really tough fighter. And Donald Cerrone is always in it to fight anytime. And he doesn't fear. He doesn't avoid anyone. Who do you think? I don't necessarily want your prediction right now, but what's your take on this fight?
I'm really excited for it because you're going to see Donald Cerrone's debut at the welterweight division. And he lost his last fight to Rafael Dos Anjos, but that he's been on a tear himself. So the thing about this fight is that Donald Cerrone just wants to start new, and he's fighting Patrick Cote, who's seen a resurgence in his career. I was really impressed with his fight with Josh Berkman. It was a stand-up affair, but it was really impressive. And, I mean, both of these guys are on the cusp of title contention. I know the welterweight division is really stacked, and there's a lot of people at the top, but they can make a name for themselves, and it's going to be very interesting to see who comes out on top.
I agree. Are there any other fights that you're because we're going to be covering all the main card fights, but just kind of starting out with, when you look at that UFC Fight Night card, what are some other fights that you're really looking forward to seeing?
I'm extremely excited to see Valerie Letourneau and Joanne Calderwood face off in the first women's flyweight bout in the UFC. Valerie's coming off a loss to Joanna Jędrzejczyk, something that you shouldn't be sad about at all. I mean, she gave her toughest fight since Claudio Gadea fought her. Joanne Calderwood, both of these women are people that struggle to make the flyweight.
To make the weight. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Now, I agree with you on this. This is going to be an interesting fight. I'm excited about this fight as well, because it marks the start of a new women's division. I know this is an experiment, but this is the perfect division to add in there, because then there's not such a big gap where, you know, there's Joanna and then there's this giant leap and then there's Miesha Tate's title. You know, now there's room, so there could be a couple of super fights where someone, if they're having a tough time, they can drop down in weight or go up in weight. It just makes the women's division that much stronger. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how this goes. I think the UFC is making some really smart decisions on doing this.
Yeah, and when you look at a weight-cutting perspective, people don't have to pigeonhole themselves to one division. There's leeway in there, and they can have their natural fight weight.
Yes, I agree. It just makes everything about this is a good decision on the UFC side. Now, when we come back, we're going to start touching on some of the other cards, and then we'll roll back into the UFC Fight Night card, where we're actually going to be giving our predictions on who we think is going to win. We're going to hit some UFC news. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Okay, and we're back. And, you know, we were just kind of touching a little bit on the UFC Fight Night 89. But now we're going to talk about some of the other fights that are coming up that's going to be televised here on Friday. And it's going to start off with a really interesting card at the World Series of Fighting, which is going to have Copeland, who's been a really tough fighter in the World Series as far as he just came off of a nice win, and he's going to be fighting for the title against
Blagoy Ivanov,
and that's why I have William here. Now, with this fight, you got the champ, and he's coming off of two really spectacular wins, one by KO, another one by submission. He's been on a tear in the World Series, and you know Copeland, who's a Division I wrestler, just a really tough fighter. He just beat Mike Hayes by unanimous decision. And that was in World Series 29, and now he gets the big title shot. Do you have any thoughts on this fight, and who do you think's going to win?
I think it's going to be an absolute slugfest. I've watched both of these guys' careers. I'm very familiar with Ivanov. He actually went under a medically induced coma because he had a stabbing incident, and that led to really his career getting sidetracked, and he's come back with a vengeance. And he's become the champion of World Series of Fighting. Whereas Josh Copeland, he's been around the game. He was actually on the Ultimate Fighter, and he was fighting on the UFC roster. So I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be a great fight. I really see that being a stand-up battle, but I think that in the end, Blagoy Ivanov is going to out-heart him, and he's just going to beat him down.
I agree 100%. I think Ivanov is going to take him to school. Copeland's a tough fighter, tough, gritty fighter. But I just don't see a scenario where, Copeland actually takes home the belt. I have the champ winning. I got it by a second-round knockout. What about you?
You know, I love heavyweights. I can never – I want to see it go out of the first round, but I just don't see that happening. I got Ivanov by first round KO.
Wouldn't be a little bit shocked. All right, then we move after this, and the whole card is actually a pretty decent card. When you're looking at something, some MMA to look at this weekend. You know, this is that weekend that you can really kick back and just really get a true feel of what the entire MMA landscape looks like. The fight that I'm looking forward to, and this is where William, I got to give William credit, and he's been on me forever. Get on the Fedor bandwagon. Get on the Fedor bandwagon. I'm really looking forward to watching Fedor fight this weekend, especially with the big news that just recently came out where this could be Fedor's last fight. Before he's after this fight, he is a free agent, and one of the things everyone's been wanting to see is him come to the UFC. And he was talking about that the fact that this may be the situation that makes after this fight he may come to the UFC. Give me your take, because I know he's one of your favorites.
You know, I've been watching Fedor's entire career, and at this point, it is a little bit late, my man Tate, to be joining that bandwagon. He's gone under some scrutiny for some of the losses that he's had late on in his career. Age has definitely, and Father Time is undefeated, as we all know. Age has definitely dampened his legacy, and the fact that back when he was really good, and honestly, he's one of the greatest fighters of all time ever. Back when he was in Pride, and back when he was fighting the top competition, when you're talking about Big Nogueira and all the different fighters out there, he was destroying them at their own game. Now, what Fedor brings in at this point of his career is, fan-friendly fights. When he gets into the UFC, anything can happen. We saw the career resurgence of Mark Hunt, and I'd love to see Fedor go through the same thing.
Now, one thing I want to set the record straight for, William, is this. I am not jumping on the bandwagon, not even a little bit. I'm just going to jump on the wagon just a little bit and go around the corner, just catching a quick ride. So that's all I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm going to ride the bandwagon until it stops, but I hope he ends it off on a good note. This weekend, he's going to be fighting Fabio Maldonado. We all know him for his stint at the UFC. He's fought some big names there, whether it's Glover Teixeira and... Rampage Jackson. He can take punishment. He is a great boxer. He has a lot of heart, but I just don't see that being enough to beat my man Fedor.
You know, Molinari, he's a tough, gritty fighter. He's definitely a game fighter, but do you not feel like he's one of those guys that are just kind of textbook for Fedor to just come in and just take him out right away?
Yeah, I think he kind of signed up to be a little bit of a punching bag in this. We all saw the fight with Stipe Miocic. He finished him rather easily in the first round, and Maldonado shouldn't have been in there. But I think that Fedor's going to be a closer fight than the Stipe fight, so I'm really excited to see what Fedor has left.
Now, as you're going through, and you're going through and you're catching the World Series event, and you're catching Fedor, don't forget to set your DVR for Bellator. Bellator 156 is on its way. It seems like it's going to be a pretty nice card. Give me your take, William.
I am so excited for this card. It is stacked from the top to the bottom. I mean, you have in the main event, you have Marcus Galvao versus Eduardo Dantas in their rematch. Let me just give you a little bit of history behind this. They are training partners. They were training partners. And Galvao was a champion. And in Brazilian culture, when you're the champion and you're older than some of your teammates, obviously the younger teammates will defer to the older ones. Like we see it through the BJJ competitions and how the older ones will just concede, or the younger ones will just concede and take the victory. All right. The younger ones will just concede victory to the older fighters. Well, in their first fight, Eduardo Dantas, the young hungry lion, came in and knocked Marcus Galvao out. And that really changes the dynamic of their whole relationship. I mean, Eduardo Dantas broke down in tears. He was really sad and torn about the knockout. And now it's their time to fight again. In this, Galvao actually beat Joe Warren, so he's a champion now. And we're going to see what happens. It's going to be a very emotional fight, and I see some fireworks happening.
Now, with this, the lead-in, if I remember correctly, originally didn't one with the, because I'm actually, when it comes to Bellator, William actually follows a lot more Bellator than I do. But one of them had promised their mom they were going to win the championship, and then the young kid came in, he won the championship, and then his very first fight, the young kid came in and knocked him out, so he didn't even really get a chance to defend his title. Isn't that the way kind of it went down?
Yeah, actually, Galvao promised on his mom's deathbed that he would become champion. He indeed did, but that reign at the top lasted very short, and he lost to Eduardo Dantas in his first defense, and Dantas went on to lose to Joe Warren, who Galvao beat.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. As I'm watching all the lead and everything, there is definitely there's a lot of, like, desire to really get going in this fight. I don't know who you're taking, but I'm actually going to take the young lion in this one.
I definitely am going to go with Dantas as well. We saw how effective he was when Galvao couldn't take it to the ground. He just lit him up. His hands are way too fast. They know each other from training. And from what I saw in Galvo's grappling, I don't think he's going to have enough to beat the young, hungry lion in Dantas.
You know, and that's the key is he going to be able to take him to the ground? And I say no. And if he can't take him to the ground, I don't really see a way that he can win.
And honestly, if he takes Dantas to the ground, Dantas is no slouch on the ground. He has the credentials to defend himself and to get back up, and he's just going to light him up. And that's how I see the fight going.
Well, we definitely agree on that. Are there any other fights on this card that you're really looking forward to?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to the co-main event in Chidi Njokwani. He is a very, very talented and long-range fighter. We saw his brother, Anthony Njokwani, in the UFC, and he's fighting against, he's fighting against Thiago Goncalves, but I don't see this being a close fight. I definitely see Chidi coming out on top. He just has too much range for him, and I'm very excited to see what he can display in terms of his stand-up.
Okay. Now, let's move back to that UFC main card again that's going to be coming up. That one's on Saturday. Now, we're going to go through, we're going to give our predictions on how we think just the main event's going to go. And let's see how we do this today. And William's been on a roll. Actually, we've both been on a pretty good roll as far as these fights go. I'm going to go through. I'm going to give you a breakdown. I'm going to go from the women's fight and then move it all the way through to the main event. You know, so with Valerie Letourneau, Valerie's rolling in at a record of 8-4. She just came off of a title defense where she was trying to fight for the title with Joanna, but she didn't come through. But she put up a really great fight. I think, she's a really tough lady. And then you're gonna look at, are you gonna take Caldwell? Because I'll go first. I am taking Valerie. I got Valerie winning. I got Valerie winning impressively.
I have the same pick. I mean, this is a huge step up in competition for Joanne Calderwood. Her last fight was against Courtney Casey. I watched that fight. I wasn't very impressed with the technique that she brought. Casey wasn't really prepared for her in terms of striking. But what Valerie brings to this is a whole nother level of Muay Thai and striking technique. I mean, she's going to overwhelm her, and that's how I see the fight going. I feel like it's going to be stoppage very early. Second round at latest, I believe.
I'm going to say I agree with you big time on this one. I look at this and the fact that it's going to be in a little bit of a heavier weight class, which definitely benefits Valerie, and it's going to make Valerie a much stronger fighter. When you look at the fact that of Valerie's eight wins, half of them, four of them have been by knockout. And, you know, I think tonight's going to be Saturday, it's going to be the same thing, a knockout.
I definitely agree. I'm super excited for this fight. I'm happy that they're going to be able to fight in their natural weight class. I think that they both strained themselves and their performances really suffered from that. So now we're going to see who comes out better and who's more fit to become the face of the women's strawweight division. Flyweight division.
It's kind of even hard to even say it because you're not even used to having it in the UFC.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go into the next event, which is Mercier, and he is going to be fighting Gauthier. Okay, now with this fight, when I look around and I say, you know, Gauthier is a really tough fighter. He has a UFC record of 11-1, and then he's going to be going up against, you know, Mercier. Got to keep those A's in there. Who's 8-2. Both fighters are really tough fighters. Mercier, though, one of the things when you look at his wins, you know, he has 8 wins. 7 of them are by submission. He's a tactician. He can, at any point in time, he can make you tap.
And I think that's what he's going to be able to do to Gauthier. We're going to see in this fight a classic grappler versus striker fight. What I see is that Mercier is definitely more well-rounded, and I think he's going to be able to stand up to the point where he's going to lull Gauthier into a sense of security. And once he does that, he's going to be able to take it to the ground, and Gauthier is going to be tapping all night long.
Finally, we get to determine which one's the better Frenchman, French-Canadian or actually France? Because, Mercier, he's from French Canada, and then Gauthier is actually from France. So, you know, that's just a little sidebar. That's kind of an interesting fact here.
Maybe they'll talk trash in French. We'll see.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And can you really talk trash in French and, you know, are you even offended?
I want to see someone get offended.
All right. So let's talk about the boss, Stephen Boss, or we're going to talk about O'Connell. In this fight, you're talking about two light heavyweights, you know, who are trying to kind of make their way in the UFC. Is there anything that you're expecting, anything special out of this fight?
I see it being a very close stand-up battle. What I'm really most looking forward to is O'Connell's pre-weigh-in antics. He always brings something hilarious. I mean, he did rock, paper, scissors once. He cheered with the gentleman that he was going to be fighting. He shows a lot of great sportsmanship, and that's what I really like about O'Connell. As far as the fight goes, I definitely think it's going to be a very stand-up heavy battle. I think Boss has a lot of power, and we're going to be able to see that. I definitely think that he's probably going to rock O'Connell, and at some point, O'Connell's going down. In his last fight, O'Connell actually went down. He lost to Alir Atifi. It's hard to pronounce his name, a Swedish fighter. But Alir is a great fighter. I definitely think that this is a good step for O'Connell in terms of trying to get back into the right mindset and trying to get a W in his repertoire, but I don't think he's going to be able to stand with Steve's power.
Now, O'Connell, who has, you know, I believe he has 7 wins out of his last 9, so he's trying to get back into things, but this is not his night. It's all about the boss, and the boss going on, I believe he has... he has 8 wins by KO. He has 8 fights in a row that he's won. I just don't see it as a competitive fight.
Momentum is an extremely powerful thing, and it leads to a lot of mental prowess for some of these fighters here. And Steve is rolling in with a lot of that inertia. He just knocked out James Tohuna, and I think he's going to be able to knock out Sean O'Connell as well.
I'm putting that as my leg pipe lock of the week. KO first round, Boss.
Ooh, I'll agree.
All right, let's move on to the next fight here. Okay, and the next fight we got the Fighting Cowboy, Donald Cerrone versus, and that is Patrick Colt. I keep
Cote.
How do you see this going?
Definitely another stand-up battle. We've seen that Patrick doesn't – he's not afraid to stand up with anybody. I mean, he fought Anderson Silva for the title, and he brought it to him. The thing about him and his style is that he's definitely more of a counter-striker. When he's really fighting well, he gets a little bit more aggressive. But it's hard to be a counter-fighter against Donald Cerrone. I mean, you're going to see leg kicks. You're going to see the whole Muay Thai facet on hand. I think Donald wants to prove something. He's trying to make his name in the welterweight division. He didn't get the title in the lightweight division. So what he's trying to do is just really rebound from that and really get that sour taste of defeat from his mouth. And I think he's going to be able to use his length against Patrick Cote. But in the past, we've also seen Donald Cerrone get lured into some stand-up battles and really some slugfests. I mean, we saw it on point in terms of his fight with Diaz. But I think that he's grown from that, and I think he's going to be able to use his length. I see him edging out a decision. He's going to start off slow, but that's just how Cowboy fights.
I think it's going to be too much Donald Cerrone too often. Too many kicks, too many punches, too much activity. I got him winning a decision. I got him winning it just pretty much a shutout. I got him 3 rounds to none.
I think Patrick's going to look really good in the first round. Everyone does really good against Cerrone in the first round because he's such a slow starter. But I think he's going to pick up the pace in the last two, and he's going to win a unanimous decision, 29-28.
Okay, and I would agree with you that Cerrone normally can be a slow starter, but because of the way Cerrone's title shot went and how he started off slow and it really cost him, I think you're going to see a different Cerrone in there. I think you're going to see a much more aggressive fighter in the first round.
I hope so. I'm really excited for that fight.
And an aggressive Cerrone in the first round makes for a lot of action. All right, so we're going to move on to the main event. And this is the fight that, you know, this is a textbook fight. You got Roy McDonald, who is, what can you say about Roy? Roy is just a stud. A lot of people could even argue that he could be champ. Him and Robbie Lawler just went to war. It's one of the best fights I've seen in a long time. He's a tough, tough guy. But you also have the guy who's on a hot streak, the man that's full of action, and that's Wonder Boy. Wonder Boy is just so amazing. So what's your take on this fight?
I think that it's great that Rory took that long layoff. His last fight was the title fight back in July. I think that he's definitely the more well-rounded fighter, and I think he's going to be able to take it to the ground because his stand-up is to the point where it's above average, and he's going to be able to fluster Stephen Thompson. The thing about Thompson's last fight was the huge size advantage that he had over Hendricks. And he definitely doesn't have that with McDonald. I mean, Rory's going to be able to pressure him. He's going to be able to pressure him in terms of on the ground as well as on the feet. So I definitely think that Rory's going to be able to take this if he fights smart, which has been an issue for him in the past. We all saw it in his first foray into contention when he fought Carlos Condit. He had that fight won. It's just that he wanted to face him in stand-up, and he paid for it dearly. And we saw the same thing with his Robbie Lawler fight. He was winning on the scorecards, but he doesn't turn away from a fight, and that's what makes him a very fan-favorite fighter and one of the very most dangerous in the welterweight division.
Don't start stalling on me. Give me a winner.
I have Roy McDonald.
You got Roy McDonald winning, Roy McDonald is just such a stud. He's such a beast. He just came off of one of the just best fights ever, and I'm not taking him. I'm taking Wonder Boy to win, and I'm actually going to give a little shocker. I got Wonder Boy winning by a KO.
I could see it happening, but I don't see it happening if Rory fights his fight.
So you don't think I'm absolutely crazy then?
Oh, I can see where you're coming. I mean, Wonderboy is looking great. It's kind of a recency bias because we've seen so much action from him in the recent dates where he's coming off these spectacular KOs. His karate is very fan-friendly. It makes for a beautiful display of stand-up. And I definitely think that he's a great stand-up fighter. I just don't think that his takedown defense is going to be enough to stop Rory from bringing it down there. I think he's going to get out-grappled. We saw in his fight with Matt Brown that he doesn't take pressure as well, especially from someone that's his size. So I definitely think that Rory's going to be able to facilitate his game plan. Faraz Zahabi is going to be nailing this into Rory McDonald's head that he needs to fight smarter in order to preserve his career. Obviously, Rory is a very, very emotional fighter, but I definitely think that he's going to be able to fight very tactically in this one.
Okay, here's my take. Everything you're saying absolutely makes sense. Here's my reason why I'm taking Wonder Boy. You know, with Roy, he's had a long layoff. Coming off of a loss, which was a very tough loss for him to handle, heartbreaking loss. Taking extended time off, he's getting in the ring with a guy who there's not too many people that you've seen in the MMA ring that fights like Wonder Boy. Wonder Boy's a totally different style that I don't think he's going to be prepared for. And with that, that's why I have Wonder Boy winning, just because of the fact that a little ring rust and not having anyone else that you can actually see in the ring who is in anything close to, you know, Wonder Boy, I got an upset win here.
By that same token, Wonder Boy hasn't trained with anybody in a long time. I mean, Chris Weidman's been out with injury. That's his main training partner, especially for Roy McDonald. Roy's got a team of killers up there at TriStar. He's training with George St. Pierre, as George is hinting his comeback. So that's very exciting, too. And I definitely think that he has a lot of connections in terms of some of the fighters that he's been bringing into camp. He brought in Raymond Daniels from and we all saw him in Bellator and how he's just lighting people up in terms of stand-up. He brings some similarities to Wonder Boy, so I definitely think that Rory's going to come prepared. He's been a veteran of this game. Wonder Boy is he's more young, and I don't think he's going to be able to be as seasoned on the ground to beat McDonald.
All right. Thank you for that take. Now, when we come back, we're going to cover a little bit of MMA news.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, we're back. And, you know, we've just been covering the UFC Fight Night main event, and we just gave our predictions on who we thought were going to win. William actually took Roy McDonald. I took Stephen Wonderboy Thomas. And so we'll see how we turn out this weekend. Now we're going to talk about a little news, and we're going to go with the one that was announced a little earlier in last week, and that is about Anthony Pettis moving down in weight and going to try at a lower weight division. What's your thoughts on the decision of Anthony Pettis making that drop?
I think it's a great move for his career. He needed something to rejuvenate him. In the past, at lightweight, we've seen him get bullied by grapplers. We saw in the Eddie Alvarez fight, and most notably in the Rafael dos Anjos fight. He was just pressured against a cage, and he had no answer for their relentless attack. I definitely think that he has more of a power advantage in the featherweight division. It's just going to be a matter of how he's going to deal with the speed of everyone else and how they're going to be more on par with him.
I agree. I think this was a really, really smart decision. I don't know who made the decision, if it was his trainers or whoever it was that made that decision. But I thought, he was a hot streak, and then it kind of fizzled out. It was time for him to make a change. I think he's a very talented guy, but I want to see him. I think I've been wanting to see him move down in weight. I think this will be a really good decision on his part. I think he can get back into the title picture because I think he can run off a few interesting wins and, really get back in contention.
He already has a fight lined up. It's against Charles Dubronx Oliveira. That's a great fight too. It's a very fan-friendly fight. I think it's going to be a great stand-up battle. I really see Anthony Pettis just really showing a spectacular knockout against Dubronx. I mean, Dubronx doesn't have the best chin out there, and I definitely think that Pettis is going to return to his ways that got him on those Weedy boxes. And I think he's going to take it to him.
Yeah, because I thought he kind of spiraled out of control after he lost his title. And, once he lost his title, he ran off a couple of losses in a row. Actually, I thought fights that he should not have lost, it's just people that I thought in a normal situation, he would have won. Just, I think mentally it was kind of, you know, losing the title was just, I think, very devastating. I think going back down and getting him back into the picture in a division where he'll be the bigger, stronger guy, I think is such a good move.
And he's been teasing this move down in weight for a long time. I mean, he had a title fight lined up with Jose Aldo. One of them got injured, as they always do, and that didn't happen. But I was really excited for that. I wanted to see him at that lower weight class just to see how he would do. And I love super fights, so I was super excited for that. It's coming on later on in his career. He's still young. I definitely would have wanted to see it back then, but I'm excited for it now. I think there's a lot of possibilities for him.
Now, you know, I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Another bit of news that that actually came out recently is the fact that Carlos Condit, who had been tossing around just giving up, retiring, has said he would come out to fight Robbie Lawler or Nick Diaz. What's your thoughts on that? Had you heard that one yet?
Yeah, I actually saw that. He has a lot of unfinished business. He really hates how he performed in the Nick Diaz fight, especially. We saw a very tentative and very point-fighting, heavy Carlos Condit that he, as the natural-born killer, is not very proud of. And he definitely wants that back. He wants to show that he can knock Nick Diaz out. He loves the way that Nick Diaz fights, and he just has a sour taste from that victory, even though it got him the title. And when you talk about his Robbie Lawler fight, I had him winning that fight.
I was just going to say that. I had him winning. I mean, I was actually stunned that he lost.
I'm not stunned. I've seen worse decisions. But,
yes.
But he did very well, and I thought he did enough to beat Lawler. I mean, he staved off that fifth round Robbie Lawler that has proven to be very, very, very formidable in the end of the fights. And he fought against him, and he stood his ground, and he was able to survive that. But when you take the fight as a whole, he did an amazing job, and he definitely needed to take a break mentally in terms of how he brought everything into that fight. And he was already considering retirement before that. Now he has refocused his life, and he's looking forward to coming back and, in my eyes, fighting some super fights.
I don't even want to see him fight Diaz. I think because of the last fight, he should just get Robbie Lawler right out the gate.
Yeah, a lot of people don't agree with Robbie Lawler facing Tyron Woodley at 201. I've seen worse decisions. I've seen champions be able to dominate their foes and then have a decision after that. In that last fight, we didn't see that. I mean, it was a back-and-forth battle. It was very close. We both had Carlos winning, but I think he should have got an immediate title fight. I think the only thing that really stopped him was his desire to fight. I mean, I think he could have had it if he clamored for it more, but I don't think he was mentally ready for it. And now that he is, I'm excited to see what happens.
Now, in the last bit of news we're going to talk about is the fact that the whole conversation about the UFC being up for sale again, has heated up back up. And there's some reports that there's been more than one bid for the UFC for $4 billion. Now, before it was all the big talk about a $2 million offer. But now they're stating that there's actually two bids, minimum of two bids that are worth $4 billion, which is twice as much as Dana himself said. You can find $2 billion, he'll consider taking it. Well, how about $4 billion?
These are some serious offers, and they're serious players in the game. I mean, one of the groups was actually a minority owner in one of the stakes. Was Bob Kraft from the New England Patriots. I mean, he's putting his name in that hat, and I definitely want to see what happens. I'm just scared as a fan. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the UFC. I'm a huge fan of what they've grown the sport into and their brand. I hope that if the UFC is sold in some way or another, Dana White has some part in it, and he helps with the transition, but I'm very hesitant to see it sold.
I I am terrified about this because if there's a sale and there's a sale and it doesn't include Dana White as keep being the head of the UFC could change dramatically. And, you know, and I just don't want to see the UFC turn, no offense to Bellator, but run a lot like Bellator. I want the UFC is perfect just the way it is. I don't want to see a huge change with the UFC. And I think Dana has done such a great job of keeping the UFC, you know, just right where it needs to be. So I'm really concerned about this because I don't, you know, money talks. And some people are doing some loud talking.
Yeah, I'm really against this, to be honest. I just love how everything has been going. But there are some factors that you have to consider that maybe the UFC has been thinking about this for a while. I mean, with the Reebok deal, trying to legitimize the sport even more so than it is, that looks good in the investors' eyes. And that's what has probably raised the valuation to $4 billion of the UFC.
All right. Well, that concludes our program today. I'd like to thank my good friend William here for joining in. When we come back, we'll be checking out the results for some of these fights and seeing how we did this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. Remember to follow us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And with Facebook and Twitter, you are always welcome to send us a comment or some questions to myself or William, and we'll be happy to respond back to you. You can always download us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or Google Play. With that, good night, and see you at the fights.